Good afternoon, everybody. Nomi, I'm Louisa. I'm here presenting a work mainly done by one of my master's students, Daniel Rujoban, that has just recently submitted his thesis. And basically, what we are looking at in here is a case study of a parametrically envelope that was developed, and four case studies, which I will show in detail in a minute, will be presented, and we undertaken daylight and thermal analysis in regards to these four case studies. Basically, it's a small room facing south, and there are four different case studies. The first one is defined as a 40% window-to-wall ratio, and the second one is an enhanced system which has a light shelf. The third one is defined as a fully glazed facade, and the fourth one is a 3D parametrically designed screen as an enhancement to the third model. Oops. And so basically, what we have done was to use a series of software to develop. Rhino was initially used to develop defining the geometry, then the plugin Grasshopper was used for defining the variables, and the Diva plugin was used for the simulation that bridged the link to Everglare, Daysim, and Energy Plus. We also used Radiance to do further analysis that I will show later. And we are going to present results in terms of daylight autonomy, usable daylight luminances, daylight availability, daylight glare probability, and in terms of energy use. Initially, the idea was to develop a screen, and the first cases that Danielle developed, the idea was to develop a curve and organic envelope that would be used as a shading and also as a daylight enhancement system. But so the idea was to have as much as possible on the top of the shading device enhancing and promoting daylight to the end of the space, then having a middle part that would allow the view to the outside, and the bottom one that would be more obstructed. But because a curved surface would add up too much time, computer processing, and later on we decided to adopt a 3D model, but it's based just on flat surfaces. So the case that was defined as our screen will include still the three zones, the top one, the middle one for the view, and the bottom one very reduced. And on this border, there are some enhancement elements like light shelves integrated in this 3D the screen. The idea of having the bottom one obviously less translucent was to avoid too much solar radiation being admitted to a space that it's not as useful for daylighting purposes. Those are initial renderings done with Radiance just to highlight the ambient parameters that were used. Obviously, there was a certain limitation in terms of the computer processing. I must say that we used the classic Radiance for this study in here. No for PMAP or RT-contrib was used in this study, because initially Danielle was using the Diva plugin, and we just went back to Valence to do some tests. But we can see in here that's the 40% window with the light shelf and the fully glazed facade, and that's with the 3D screen that was developed. In terms of the materials, in particular for the light shelves, we've adopted the suggested method that Lars published recently on the mailing list, and we used a mirror material calling for metal or modifying a metal material, and which means that we have a sort of secondary light source that it's also specular reflective. I'm going to show a series of results that were obtained. These ones came from the plugin Diva interface into the UDIs and the daylight autonomies and the oversupplied areas. And what we can see, it's we have without the light shelves, with the light shelves, which do not change that significantly in this particular case. And without the screen, so 100% wall to window to wall ratio, which obviously increase the daylight autonomy, but the useful daylight illuminance reduces, and obviously the oversupplied area increases as well. And with the shade increase, this is ameliorated to minimize effects of oversupplied and therefore glare, and allocate illuminances more in the useful range. If we see all the comparison of the four case studies with the different climate-based metrics, it's, as I said, it's not too visible the effect of the light shelves, and there could be some reasons for this situation, one being that this was simulated for London, and London is mainly an overcast sky distribution. So when we look at metrics that take an analysis of the whole year, it sort of fades a little bit with the effect of the sunny skies on the overall calculation. So that's why we came back to the classic radiance, to actually look at the spaces and to look to see if the actual light shelf allocated in this B was actually creating and enhancing the illuminance of the space, which it does, but it obviously mainly reflects it to the ceiling, and because the ceiling is a perfectly diffused surface, it doesn't affect that much the back of the room, but only the closed surfaces. So that's why we have this effect for that are more visible under the radiance renderings. Over the summer solstice, obviously the sun is high in the sky, and the effect in the back of the room, it's even less noticeable on the different light shelf, and in terms of the screen, obviously this reduces the illuminance in the back of the room in comparison to the fully glazed facade. During the winter, because the sun is very low, maximum altitude at 12 is 15 degrees, it's fully sunlit on the fully glazed facade, but on the other cases, obviously, the light penetrates it to the end of the space. Over an overcast sky condition, that's where we see that the effect of the light shelves that still reflect a little bit of daylight to the ceiling, but that this has a minimal effect in the back of the room. So in here it's just an overall and a comparison, so you can fully see the differences between the equinox and solstice days. And
this is south facing the room.
Yes, absolutely. And this was taken at 12 o'clock solar time. So we moved to a glare analysis with the DGP, and what we can see on the overall analysis throughout the year, those are the months and those are the times of the day. The light shelf actually, well, the majority of the four scenarios mainly cause significant glare, intolerable and disturbing glare during the winter periods, and the light shelf increases the period of the day, and that may be a result that our viewpoint and view direction wasn't facing a side wall nor due south, but was at 45 degrees, so it would look as well at this surface that was receiving reflected light from the light shelf bounced back by the ceiling. On the right side, we further looked at a point time analysis, obviously for the winter and solstice day, to quantify the DGP in terms of for those particular periods and days of the year, which we can analyze it here, the different scenarios. But because there was not that much definition in terms of this variation between the three scenarios, we did a sort of analysis that probably is not fully correct, but it was an easy approach to make an estimation to compare which one was the one that would create high more glare, which was picking up the winter period, the January to March month, and averaging all the hours of the day for that period to get a relative comparison between the four case scenarios. And obviously the one that creates more glare, it's the fully glazed facade. And obviously don't take this as absolute values, but I believe, and when we did this average, it was a very quick average, so we didn't extract the night period, so obviously these values are lower than the previous values presented. But nevertheless, it gives you an analysis which one is creating more glare in comparison to these four analyses. In terms of daylight autonomy, again, the fully glazed facade is the one that it's probably the one that will provide a healthier environment in terms of occupants, because it gives more daylight availability, but we need to offset this later on with the problems of cooling. And there is a reduction between the fully glazed, obviously, when you apply a screen. But in terms, again, of daylight autonomy, the reduction of the light shelf applied to a 40% window, it's minimal, and again, it's probably because it's an average for a whole year period. If we look at the daylight factor as the old calculation metric, we can we can see what's interesting is that we can clearly see the reduction in the illuminance levels and daylight factor close to the window when we apply a light shaft to the fully glazed facade, the green to the blue, the green to the purple in here, or when we apply the light shelf to the 40% that reduces from the blue to the red. This doesn't have a very strong impact in the back of the room in terms of reductions of light levels. It does, obviously, the screen, because it reduces significantly the visible area of the fully glazed facade. If we look at the UDI in terms of the different ranges for the four cases in study, we can see that the screen reduces by 28 to 22% the excess illuminance on the fully glazed facade, and the one that it's more well valued in the useful range, it's the light shelf and the 40% 40% window ratio. In here we can see an overall comparison of all the systems, and the scale was defined to a maximum of 2,000 lux. So obviously in here, when you see that this is fully lit, or it's because it's well above 2,000 lux on the winter solstice. But we can see the difference between the different scenarios when we have like the light shelf, or between the other days, equinox and summer, where there is not a significant difference between the light shelf or the screen. What the light shelf does is increasing the illuminance in the back, on the side of the space close to the window, as I said, because of the reflections from the walls. Because we wanted to look as well at the thermal analysis to sort of analyze this integrated, we exported as well the model to Energy Plus via the DIVA. There is a limitation in terms of how we can actually model the screen under Energy Plus, because it doesn't allow complex shadings, plus it only allows planar surfaces. So the idea, what we did was to estimate a shading coefficient by calculating the illuminance with Grasshopper before, in front of the and behind the screen, and then we averaged it and used this on the schedule that was applied to our window and the Energy Plus. And in terms of energy consumption, I'm just going to probably go relatively fast to here in this part. I must say that because this was a simplified model, all the surfaces except the facade were modeled as adiabatic. So the absolute values in here, especially in the energy consumption, need to be taken obviously a little bit with caution, because this is just one space and no thermal mass is included in this analysis because of just on the facade. But nevertheless, it gives you an indication, and the space for the different scenarios without the light shelf, they mainly require cooling for London. And again, with the window fully glazed, the facade fully glazed, they mainly use cooling during the summer, very little light is required for artificial lighting. This particular graph has the same information that this one that I showed above. It's just because this was the model with a screen. We needed to utilize a different. We couldn't use the plugin from Viva for that situation to export back. So, in terms of light usage, the introduction of additional elements affected the daylight levels in the back of the room. So, often artificial light was required to achieve the desired light lux levels, which was defined at 500 lux. And the enhancement systems, the light shelf and the screen, consume more 20% and 61% energy for lighting than the base case, respectively, which makes sense because less light reaches the far end of the system. If we look at the overall energy consumption, the fully glazed facade is the one that consumes more energy. Introduction of a light shelf, there is a significant reduction in the cooling loads, slight increase in terms of the artificial light consumption. Likewise, the screen reduces the consumption for cooling against the fully glazed facade. Obviously, in terms of heating and cooling, the introduction of the screens reduce the cooling loads. That was for the winter period. Reduce the cooling loads, and it doesn't affect that much the energy during the winter period. We can see as well in here the solar gains are reduced during the summer between the fully glazed to the screen and the light shelf to the 40% to the light shelf. In terms of temperatures, I'm not going to go through these temperatures, but because the idea was just to analyze the reduction, the relative reduction in terms of the energy consumption, both for cooling and without a significant loss or increase of the energy for heating during the winter. So in terms of overall conclusions, we can say that daylight enhancement systems such as light shelves, well, I'm afraid, do not improve significantly the light levels in London. And, well, our suggestion or reason or explanation for this fact is because of the high percentage of overcast skies in the city. Nevertheless, a major advantage of these light shelves is that they also allow shading at the lower part of the window, and therefore reduce significantly the cooling loads in the summer without compromising the advantage of capture of solar gains during the winter. It has been seen that, well, some tests that some cases perform better in terms of daylight, others in terms of the energy performance, and vice versa, but it's always difficult to find and to reach the best solution, and the compromise has to be always taken depending on what is your assumptions for your case study. In this case, this was a theoretical case, so if we were to give significant the same importance to both daylight and energy, we would say that the light shelf would be the system that performs better in comparison to the fourth case analyzed. If we are to look at in individual assessments for daylight, the screen is the better solution, and the light shelf performs better if you look into the situation of the energy performance of this space analyzed. Thank you very much.
You're aware that lighting design. time, it was not really decisive. So he asks you, what is your real favorite? What do you really recommend?
I would recommend the screen. Because obviously the one that as a lighting designer it's more appealing and it creates in terms of daylight, it's the one that performs better. It's the one that allows a more uniform overall values. Although I must say that, and this, it may be that this is the case, and now we want to do it for a sunny climate to test it under different conditions. Because somehow London undermines the effects of potentially light enhancement systems because of the London has a more or less 70% overcast sky conditions, so this can obviously make an impact on this situation. But I would be fine, and Danielle was the strongest supporter of having the screen as the best solution.
Just thought about a bit how people will interpret the image who have not the scientific background. And so one thing which appeared to me was that the lighting distribution in the images with the screen is rather, I don't know how to say this, but a bit noisy. It's rather patchy. And the screen, it looks very, very sexy in a way. And then people might expect quite a lot of improvement from such a structure. Although you say it's the best solution, but this difference
is
not
that much. There's always a compromise on these cases.
Install such a thing which doesn't give that much, that big performance gain. That's just some first.
Well, it does reduce significantly the cooling loads, and that has a major impact, especially in office buildings. In London.
So it's also
the energy argument has an impact. And plus the current regulations, the conservation of fuel and power in the UK require an application of shading devices or a reduction of the G value of the glazing. So you do need to consider and need to adopt shading devices.
And you can reach a much softer result in the simulation, in any case, for the screen, should you have ions in the vision, for example. Because these were rather conservative options.
Yes, absolutely.
This model.
Yes.
I don't think it's
absolutely
the quality of the rendering, but it will still be a more interesting. I mean, personally, I like to have a more interesting environment, so maybe it's safe also. But I just think a bit about how conservative users might interpret it.
You can never satisfy 100% of the occupants of a space.
Or the architects. Wouldn't increasing the surface area of the light shelf must have a kind of a bigger impact? They look quite small.
Well, probably if you had a light shelf in the inside.
Yes.
But then again, if the light is bounced back by a fully diffused surface as a ceiling, it doesn't bounce to... Well, obviously the light shelf was specular reflective up to a... I think it was... We increased, I believe, in the last model to 80%. Specular reflectance. But because it bounces to the ceiling and the ceiling is a Lambertian surface, it doesn't affect the back of significantly the back of the room unless you probably put it.
But the light shelf, pushing the design of the light shelf and the surface with some prism, then you could redirect the light deeper in the room for specific...
Possibly.
Specific solar angle.
This was a simplified case. Initially, we just consider it as a sort of enhancement for the 40% glazing.
Yeah.
Since you have a generative model hooked to the screen design, would you consider looking at different geometric formations of it to...
Yes, they were considered initially.
This was the best one, or
it was one of the best. For instance, Galapagos was used to optimize the dimensions, width and height of the 40% and the position, and obviously Grasshopper also optimized the screen. But for instance, for the window, we used the daylight factor and the metrics, because it was so time consuming. And again, for the other one, we selected particular days to optimize it, not the whole year. It was impossible to simulate and to take. It was, well, Daniel had a limited, well, period to finish his thesis, so a compromise has to be done in terms of computer resources and time to finish a work to produce some results that can make sense up to a certain stage. Probably that could be better optimized.
Well, I mean, I just say one more thing is that daylight factor is going to be very hard to optimize a light shelf against, because there's no...
No, it wasn't the light shelf wasn't optimized with the daylight factor, just the window
position
and dimensions, which obviously I think as a simplified method it's perfectly valid to optimize.
Sure.
The height of the window in a space.
One last question.
You gave that message in quite a clear way that the light shelf may not be reversed in the climate cycle due to the overcast. The message was a bit like the light shelf is to be reversed in a climate zone like London. And I think before you leave this message in such a clear way, because actually the options for the light shelf were quite limited because we didn't have that much time. I think it's worth to consider non-planar light shelves.
Yes.
There has been work like on concentrators, which are more optimized than zenith light, because it's kind of a message that goes out, which is maybe not true, and
may kind of discourage
people.
I don't want to discourage, and that's why we also said that they are kind of important. Just this particular one that was analyzed, it didn't create that much impact on the overall elements of the space.
Jan? One last question. Jan?
You said it reduces the cooling load. Do you mean really the cooling load or also the cooling energy all over the year?
The energy all over the year.
Because then I do not really understand. If you have a big impact on the cooling energy, then you have no big impact on the daylighting. Because, well, the amount of radiation coming has an effect on the daylighting. So maybe you should look at the algorithm that we discussed.
Oh, you don't want to regard
it. The lighting.